Good morning. Happy boy, this is a packed full day today. It's Pentecost Sunday number one, and so Pentecost Sunday, it's the day in which we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit on the church as told in the book of Acts. Today is also Baptism Sunday. We did not pick Baptism Sunday intentionally on Pentecost Sunday, but it worked out that way. And then after church today, we're having our first official local church conference, and then we are eating. Amen? Amen. Amen. There we go. I knew that the meal would get an amen out of it. As Mike comes in, preparing to cook us our food. He's here. We're also, it's another little bit of a reunion day today, having a bunch of our people, everybody here, to celebrate the baptisms, number one, but also for the local church conference. Typically on a baptism Sunday, I'll preach a baptism message, and that was not the direction God took me today. We will talk about baptism towards the end. And while it's not a baptism message, it can apply to baptism because it applies to salvation, it applies to our walk with God, so it kind of goes along with it. What I want to do today, and really the main goal of today's sermon, is for me to introduce to you what we are doing over the summer as a church, a study that we will do, and I'll talk about that study at the end, that I think God has led me to do, led us to do, to make sure that we are establishing deep roots in our faith and make sure our roots are firmly established in Jesus Christ. So we're going to talk about roots today. So we named it Rooted. And I know that's not the exact same slide as up there, but it worked out one way or another. As I've already said before in some of my introductions to my sermons, we have a lot of houseplants around our house. And if I'm being honest with you, I'm not great at keeping them alive and healthy. I did not get my grandma's green thumb. But I also have a lot of things working against me. Between the cat clawing at them and knocking them down, between my dogs, my big German Shepherd that is clumsy as all get out, taking her tail, and I won't tell you what Randy used to call it, but taking that tail and whacking the plants off of their stands, or my wife knocking them over, and she's not in here, so I can say that. My wife knocking them over with... I don't know what she knocked it over with, but she broke a nice pottery pot that and killed that flower. I'm basically trying to save it at this point. What I am real bad about doing, and it's probably for most of us, I'm bad about overwatering them or underwatering them. Right now, I am on it, and I unfortunately overwatered some of my plants. A lot of times I just forget about them. But then when I don't forget about them, I'm doing it every week, and I realize they don't need it every week. At least some of them don't. So I have overwatered a couple. There's a couple that are dying right now because I rotted the roots out because I put too much water in them. And so what happened with that one was the plant became full of water, and it died. And another one happened because I poured the water in, but I packed the soil too much, and so the water couldn't drain down where it could below the root system, and so it has rotted it out too, although I think I'm saving it for the most part. I meant to bring them today, but I'm kind of glad I didn't because I'd be embarrassed at how bad some of them look. But the point is that the roots affect the health of the plant. If I am overwatering it and rotting out the roots, the plant's not going to be healthy. If I'm underwatering it, the roots cannot take that water and put it up into the stem, into the leaves, so it's not going to be healthy there either. That's the main job of the roots, is to deliver the water and the nutrients to the plants from the soil. Well, we have roots in our life. And just as unhealthy roots mean unhealthy plants, unhealthy roots for us means unhealthy followers of Jesus. So today, we're going to look into the different roles of roots and compare that to our spiritual life. So we're going to be in Colossians chapter 2 today. It's going to be two verses. This is not going to be one of my typical sermons because we do have so much going on today, so it shouldn't be quite as long. And now that I said that, it'll be 45 minutes, but you'll be all right. But we're going to be in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Let's read this. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So Paul is speaking to the Colossian church here, and he's talking about a couple things. He says in verse 6, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord. What he is referring to there is that someone has gotten saved. They've received Jesus Christ as Lord. Those that are being baptized today are declaring that they are a follower of Jesus, that they have received Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. But Paul goes a step further. Just as you received Jesus, just as you were saved, continue to live your lives in him. A few weeks ago, I used this language, and I want to bring this language back up today for today's sermon. We talked about the difference between getting saved and knowing we're being saved. So getting saved, this is my first point, getting saved is just as important as knowing you're being saved. Getting saved is just as important as knowing you're being saved. Paul says, hey, you've received Jesus Christ as Lord. You've been saved. Great job. But continue that walk. You can't just settle for, hey, I've been saved. I'm good to go. Continue in that walk. Continue to live your lives in him. Understand that every day Jesus Christ is working in your life, giving you the grace you need to grow, to become more like him through his power at work in you. That is the being saved part. And for some reason, over these last few weeks, this is where God has taken me. This whole concept of getting saved and then understanding you're being saved every day. I think it's important for us to emphasize that, because I think there's a misunderstanding about what it means to be a Christian. I think we think that you raise your hand one time and go to the altar and pray a prayer that you're good no matter how you live the rest of your life. But Paul says here, just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. This is what we would call a holiness message. We're part of the Wesleyan Church, and the Wesleyan Church is a holiness denomination that has always encouraged people to live as God has called us to live Christ-like lives. And I think this is an important message for us to be preaching in this area. I think it's important for us to emphasize it's not about getting saved when you're 7, 8 years old and then never really continuing your walk with God. It's about living a life of holiness, a Christ-like life every single day. And so it's important for us to emphasize this because this is the mission God gave us, is to make disciples. He doesn't say make converts. He doesn't say just get them to raise their hand on Sunday morning. He doesn't say make churchgoers. Make disciples. And the word disciple means they follow. And they're not following me. They're not following you. We are called to make people who follow Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's compare this to planting. And I've got a couple comparisons with planting. So here's the first comparison. Getting saved would be like planting a plant. And after we plant it, there are two choices we can make. We can do the things we need to do to make sure that plant stays healthy and that it grows. So water it, give it the nutrients it needs, change the soil every now and then, that type of thing. Or we could do nothing. And that's my type of plant right there. But we could do nothing and let it die. Naturally, what's going to happen to that plant if we do nothing to take care of it? It's going to be KO'd. It's going to die. That's what naturally happens. Well, guess what naturally happens to you without Jesus moving in your life and you receiving that movement? You die. The wages of sin is death. So if you're not intentionally working and receiving what Jesus is doing in your life, you're also just like this plant that nothing's being done. But as long as we are doing things we need to do to keep the plant alive, that plant is being saved by us. from the natural destination that it would go. So how ridiculous would it be to get a plant and not do anything to keep it healthy or help it grow? You're wasting your money. Well, how ridiculous would it be to get saved and think you have to do nothing to keep your relationship with Jesus healthy and growing? That's ridiculous. Yet that is the mindset many people have when it comes to their faith in Jesus. And I'm here today to make sure that that is not the case for me and you. That isn't the case for us. And so here's my next point. Getting saved is about establishing the roots in the soil. But being saved is about strengthening those roots. The next verse, this is the first part of it. Paul says that we are rooted and built up in him. So now let's go to the second analogy with plants. In the first analogy, we were planting the plants and we were taking care of the plants. Now I want us to put ourselves in the place of the plant. In John 15, we're told that God is the gardener. So I want you to think about God as a gardener with this analogy here. Think about us as the plant. Jesus is the pot, the soil, and the water that we are planted in. He is the source of the nutrients, because the nutrients are in the soil. The water is what we need. Jesus, the scripture says that Jesus is the living water. Jesus is the one who's going to provide us with what we need, which is a scriptural truth. That's why, just as we finished up a series on the Sermon on the Mount, he told us not to worry, because he's going to provide us with everything we need. Here's what Paul says in Philippians 4:19. Says, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." He has riches that he will meet our needs with. And that's what that soil does. Are you the one, when you're taking care of a plant, are you the one actually taking the nutrients from the soil to the roots? No. You're not doing that. That just happens because the roots are in the soil. So in this case, we're the plant. When we get saved, our roots are planted, our plant is planted in the pot of Jesus, in the soil of Jesus, in the water of Jesus. And so from that point on, we are establishing our roots into him. So our roots go into the soil, our roots go in Jesus. Kind of reminds me of last week's sermon about we have to build our house on the rock. Now once those roots are established, then the plant is able to grow up in Jesus. And that's exactly what Paul said there. He said that we are rooted and built up in him. Now, the difference between us and some actual plants is that the plants at my house can't get up and walk out of their pot. It takes a cat or a wife to knock it down. Not to mention there's a toddler. Oh, she's back in here now. Whoops. Not to mention we have a toddler that will grab stuff as well. But we're a plant that can get up and take ourselves out of that pot. You can choose to reject what Jesus is wanting to do in your life. But as long as my plants are in the soil, they get what they need. And as long as you are in the soil, in the pot of Jesus Christ, guess what you're going to get? What you need. And so we need our roots to be healthy. Our roots can only be healthy if we stay in the pot. A healthy root, and did a little study on roots for this sermon, but a healthy root is doing its job of giving life to the plant. They're doing their job of receiving the nutrients and the water, sends that back up the stalk, sends it to the leaf, sends it to the flowers, helps the plant to grow. In our life, we need our roots that are established in Jesus to be healthy so that we are living our life with everything we need. If we're living with a deficit in our life, the problem is not that Jesus is not providing you what you need. The problem is probably your roots are not able to receive it. or you've taken yourself out of the pot. You're not spending time with Jesus. Jesus is going to provide exactly what we need. We just have to receive what he is giving. And that only happens if our roots are healthy. That only happens if the means and ways of receiving what Jesus is given is open and available. What does that mean exactly? The Bible mentions multiple times about people who have hardened their heart to God. A hardened heart is not a root that is healthy. A hardened heart is not a root that is able to take the nutrients in the water and send it up. I was thinking about with some of my plants at home, maybe a hard heart would be a root that is dried out. This kind of flakes off. It's not doing its job. It's not able to work. But a healthy root, have you ever taken them out? You know, when you get them from Lowe's, you take them out and the roots are all bundled up and you got to kind of shake that out, shake the soil out. The roots are mendable, aren't they? They're movable. They're loose. They're not hard and they don't just flake off very easily. They're not dry. They're mendable, and so does our hearts. Our hearts need to be flexible. Our hearts need to be open to change. Our hearts, the core of our life, we have to allow God to morph us into who he desires for us to be. So in other words, what does a healthy root look like? It's a heart that is devoted to God. It's a heart that knows that we need God. It's a heart that knows that we need to spend time with God, that our roots need to be established firmly in his life-given soil. Not floating on the surface. I have some roots at home because they've been knocked over so much. The soil, topsoil keeps falling out. And so you can see the roots exposed at the top. Is that helping those roots? No. I need to put more soil in there. And then Elijah knocks it down. But I need to put more soil in there. We can't be, how many people do you know, kind of, hey, I'm kind of in with Jesus, but I'm kind of not. My roots are floating on the top a little bit, but I got them in the soil just a little bit too. You're not getting everything you need in this case. There's a disconnection there. Your roots are floating halfway in and halfway out. We have to be all in with God. We have to be fully devoted to him. So we have to have a heart that is ultimately willing to listen to what God has to say, that's open to receiving the words that he wants to speak to us in our life, willing to receive the grace that he will give us so that we can live the life that he has called us to live, so that we can continue to live in him as Paul commands us to do. The next thing our roots need to be is deep. And what I mean is by deep is I mean they are secure and they are far-reaching. When you have roots that are secure, it means that they're not going to give way very easily. Since my father-in-law's passed away, I've done some work at my mother-in-law's house, and he had a tractor. And I grew up on a farm, but I probably only drove a tractor once or twice in my life on the farm. I hated driving the tractor. My dad, and he's not in here, so I can say this. My dad was not a great teacher. He'd get too frustrated with me if I didn't do exactly what he wanted me to do. And so my father-in-law had a tractor. And so I've gotten that tractor out, and I've knocked down a building with that tractor, and I've knocked down some trees with that tractor, and I've cleared some land with that tractor, and I've had fun with that tractor. It has a couple flat tires now, but I've had fun with that tractor. And so the other day with my mother-in-law, I trying to clear out more of her space, and there was a couple plants there, and I said, do you want me to knock down those plants? And she said, if you want to. She said, their roots are deep. Their roots are long. It's going to be hard to knock them down. And, you know, any man says, well, that's a challenge I accept. So I got on that tractor. Those things didn't stand a chance. Knocked them right over, pulled them right up, and she was, you know, amazed. And I think they just broke off the top, but I'm not going to tell her that. They were amazed that I knocked them down. There's also some trees at my house that I can't knock down with a tractor. They are really tall. And so we've had like five trees probably cut down, five or six trees cut down since we moved into our house in 2017. And when we had them come out one time, I said, do these trees need to be cut down? Because one of them's like right next to the house, and you got, they're so tall that if they fell, they would hit the house. And they said, nah, said those are good. Says those have very secure root systems where they go a long ways out. They're far reaching, which we'll get to in a second. Those trees are secure, though, because their roots are strong. So he said the only risk we were running with those that if a heavy enough wind came, they would snap. Then they wouldn't hit the house, probably. And so I said, okay. Our roots need to be secure. Because just as we talked about last week, the storms of life are going to come. Your plant's going to get blown around some. It's going to get knocked over by a wife or a toddler or a dog or a cat. I'm not going to say it. It's going to get knocked over at times. But is that root system in that pot, is it secure? Is it deep? Is it far reaching to where when the storms of life come, you don't fall over very easily? Your faith does not really waver. When I think about roots that are far reaching, our roots need to go deep into what we know of Jesus Christ. Doesn't need to be this shallow faith that we can often settle for, simply come to church on Sunday and that's it. It needs to be a life that is going deeper and deeper with Jesus Christ, which means, really, the deeper you get with Jesus Christ, the deeper Jesus Christ gets within you. The more he reaches the parts in our life that maybe we want to keep secret, that we don't want anyone else to know about. He already knows about them. But the deeper you get in your relationship with Jesus Christ, the more you know of his love and his grace that he's given to you, the deeper your roots go in there, the more far-reaching they are, the more he reaches into your life and will change you from the inside out. That's what he wants to do. He wants to touch every part of our life. He wants to change us and to morph us to be like him. He wants our hearts to be mendable so that he can change us and make us more like Jesus Christ so that we can be more effective followers for him in this life. He also wants to help us in the storm. He can't help you in the storm if your plant gets knocked out of the soil. He can't help you in the storm if you get up and walk out. It made me think that he'll only touch what we let him touch in our life. He'll only change what we allow him to change. And so if we don't let him into the deepest part of our life, he isn't going to touch it. If we aren't letting him battle with us in the storm, he's not going to force it. He's given us free will, and we can get into that theological discussion, but he's given us free will in our life. And we can reject his grace. We can reject his mercy. But that doesn't change what he wants to do. You have to be willing to stay in the pot, to develop those healthy roots that are strong and secure. So how do we do that? Well, Paul told us right here in verse 7. He says that we are rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So here's essentially what Paul says. Once our roots are established, we are built up by Jesus, strengthened in the faith by others, and we are full of gratitude. Let's cover those step by step. First, we are built up by Jesus. We've already established Jesus is the one providing what we need. He's providing the nutrients. He's providing the power. He's providing the grace we need in order to live the life that God has called us to live. So what do we need to do in order to receive what Jesus wants to give us? See, we can come up with all these things that Christians should be doing, but it comes down to as simple as this. We need to learn to be with Jesus. We need to learn to be with Jesus. Does the roots have to figure out how to take the nutrients up into the plant? No. They just need to be in the soil. They just need to be with the water and the nutrients. We just need to be with Jesus. So our goal, in order for us to be built up by Jesus, we need to simply be with Jesus, which means we need to spend time with him however we can. We need to do the things that bring us into his presence, that bring us closer to him. I saw a quote this past week on Facebook, I think, and they was emphasizing that we often focus on the importance of doing stuff for Jesus, but that's not near important as being with Jesus. And when we begin to reverse that and think that we have to do things for Jesus to be loved and to experience his power at work in our life, rather than simply be with Jesus, it turns into a religion that is not the true force of Christianity. Today's Pentecost Sunday. That's how the Holy Spirit's working in you, changing you. But you've got to choose to spend time with the Holy Spirit. You've got to choose to spend time with Jesus. You've got to choose to be with God. And when you do that, you're like the roots sitting in the pot, choosing to not get out. The longer the roots stay in there, God's never going to overwater you or underwater you. He's going to provide you exactly with the water that you need. Hey, that hit me. Now Lowe's has a, I don't know what it's called, wick, something but wick. W-I-C-K, but it's basically a little string that hangs at the bottom of the pot, and that pot is in another pot, and all you have to do is fill the other pot with water, and it will take the water out of that pot through the wick up into the soil. That's my type of plant right there. I've just got to make sure there's water in the bottom, and then it will provide it with what it needs. Jesus is that wick. He'll provide you with what you need. You just got to be there to receive it. Amen? Second, strengthen in the faith by others. We grow healthier roots when we are with other Christians, other followers of Jesus, when we're here teachings. And when I say teachings, I'm not just talking about like Sunday morning or just the teacher teaching in the table gathering. We teach one another when we talk to one another. We teach one another when we make discussions, comments in our groups. One thing I love that I know Tuesday and Friday table gatherings have moved to, that's the two table gatherings that I am in and more aware of, they've started studies where it's more discussion and less teaching. And it has been so good for those groups. Why? Because they're not just hearing from one person. They're hearing from the whole group on what their take is on the scriptures that we are reading. We can learn a lot from one another. I've learned a lot from you guys. I make comments in my sermons that are originating from things that someone have said to me through the week. Learning from one another helps us. It can help us, number one, maybe correct our misunderstandings that we may have about God or Christianity or the faith in general. But how many times have you heard from someone, you're reading the same exact verse they are, but they see something that you didn't see? We're learning from one another. Ultimately, we help disciple one another. We help each other become better followers of Jesus so that ultimately we grow together. But just as in order to grow in Jesus, you have to be in the pot, in order for us to learn from one another, we have to be around one another. We have to make space in our life to be around each other, to hear those teachings, to hear those comments. We've got to make space in our life to let people in, to see the deepest, darkest parts of us, and know that they'll still love us and that they're going to help us through it. Here in our church, we try to make spaces. We're very intentional about creating spaces for us to discuss and hear teachings from one another. Sunday morning is one of those times you hear a teaching from me or one of our pastors. Our table gatherings, one of the things we emphasize is we want at least 50-50 discussion and teaching. We want people to be able to give feedback and talk back and forth. And from what I hear, especially on the, I'm in the Tuesday one and it's going great, and the Friday one, this new study they're doing, they say there's great discussion going on in there. That's great. It kind of reminds me of those plants. Have you purchased plants at Lowe's and it says plant six together or plant four together? It's called companion planting. Some plants thrive when planted with other plants. And I could have, yeah, I already got an amen because they know where I'm going. Some plants thrive when they're planted with other plants. It creates healthier root systems that help each other to grow, helps keep them more secure. Well, newsflash to you, we're all companion plants, whether you want to be or not. God created you to be a companion plant. We are meant to be around other people. You are better and more healthier if you grow with other people. You establish healthier and stronger roots when you are with other people. Because how many times has your plant about fell over, but it's your neighbor's root that caught you from falling completely over? It's your friend who's picked you back up, who picked you back up out of the ditch, who kept you from falling completely over, from losing your faith. We're companion plants. We need one another. And the last one is full of gratitude. And this is more of a state of mind than anything. We need to be grateful for being saved, for being alive, and for being loved by Jesus. A root system that is healthy is going to be grateful just to be in Jesus' pot. A root system that is healthy is going to be open to whatever Jesus wants to give us, because they're just thankful that the God of the universe would take time to spend with them. A root system that is grateful, or plants that is grateful, are going to be content. Not in the bad way of becoming complacent, but in a good way. Living out of the abundance that we know we have in Jesus, rather than constantly looking for what we don't have. I've learned this in my life. I don't deserve anything good. You don't deserve anything good. But boy, has God blessed us. And even if I lose everything, one thing God has promised that I will never lose is his love for us. So even if you lose everything, you still have the one thing that really, truly matters. And it's his love for you. I think Job experienced that. He lost a lot in his life. But who was there through it all? God. When you're living your life from that grateful heart, by being with Jesus, it frees you in a way that is really hard to explain. For me, it makes me want to be more committed to him than ever before. It makes me want to keep those roots established, and it makes me want to spend more time with him. And so we need to make sure that we have that gratitude in our hearts. Grateful that we've been planted. Grateful that we have roots. Grateful that God is providing you with the nutrients and things you need in order to live the life God has called you to live. There's a guy I'm friends with on Facebook, and he takes every day and lists about five things that he's thankful for that day. And I love seeing his posts. He's keeping that heart of gratitude. And his, I don't know much about him. Kayla probably knows. I'm talking about Heath Mulliken. He lost his wife. His wife passed away years ago from cancer, I think, maybe. It was just a really, really bad battle. And so I don't know if he's doing that intentionally just to make sure his heart stays grateful or not, but I love seeing that, and it's a reminder to me to count my blessings every day. So all this kind of leads into what I feel like God has called us to do over the summer. If you've been a part of our church over the last couple years, we know that over the last two summers, our denomination has asked us to focus on other churches. So a couple summers ago, we sent about 9 people from our church to Kildee to work with that church, to provide some leadership during a time of transition for that church. And so we were there throughout the summer. And that was not a super fun experience for us. Amen, the 9 people. This past summer, they asked us to go into a church that was closing down. And so it actually will be a year next week since they closed down. And the goal was that they would restart in September, or August or September, and we end up restarting in September, and we still work with them. We currently have four or five people up there every Sunday, and we still send some people up there other Sundays to help with them. We spent the whole summer last year remodeling. Typically, what I'd like to do in the years prior for our church is to spend the summer really making sure that we are establishing our roots – make sure that we are growing our roots, make sure that we are discipling our people in our church. We haven't been able to do that the last couple of summers. Typically over the summer, what happens is you don't have as many visitors. And so knowing that, I like to then kind of point my sermons more towards discipleship in the church rather than preparing for possible visitors. So that's kind of where our focus was before that. But then the last two summers, our focus has been elsewhere. And so this year, we feel like we need to focus on ourselves again. Specifically, this is going back to our word for the year, expanding, that's our word, expand. Specifically, I want us to focus this year on expanding those roots down deeper and healthier than ever before. To do it together, collectively, because we are companion plants. Make sure we're doing it together so that we can grow together for the future, because I don't think God's done with our church helping other churches yet. And so, what we have decided to do is a series in our church called Rooted. It is a series of teachings that originated in Africa, I believe. It is a workbook that we will go through together. It is 10 weeks. And what I love about it is that it's not necessarily about you gaining knowledge. It covers spiritual practices that emphasize being with Jesus. So yes, it will cover reading the Bible. Yes, it will cover prayer. Yes, it will cover worship. It will cover giving. It's covering spiritual practices that we need to know in order to be with Jesus. And that's what I loved about this study. I've read through some of the study. Looks like solid stuff, some really thought-provoking questions that I think will really help us to go deeper in our walk with Jesus. The churches that have done this have experienced wonderful results from the people in their church. And so I'm really excited about this. And so our plan is that we're not going to have any table gatherings other than one table gathering starting on June the 5th for 10 weeks. We're going to have this meeting every Wednesday night at 6:30. Here's how much I want you to be there. You know, I don't like spending money here at this church. And yet, we have decided to provide a light meal for you every Wednesday at 6:30. And then at 6:50, if you also know me, I hate games. I love athletic games, but if it's something else, I don't like any other games. But I want you to come so bad that we're going to embarrass some people in the church by playing some fun games, or let's just say stupid games, to make people laugh starting at 6:50 here on the stage. Has anybody ever watched the show Password? So we'll play Password. We'll play Pictionary. Anything you might see on a late night TV show, we might do. Just for laughs and just for building that connection. And then, after that, once we finish that up, so that'd be about 7 o'clock, 7:10, the rest of the time, we're going to be in here. We're going to be at tables. But the rest of the time is going to be open for discussion. We'll have some discussion with the entire church, whoever's here, and then we'll have some discussion where you split into smaller groups, maybe at your table. What I hope is that we will grow our roots deeper. The goal is basically you do your devotional work in the workbook the 5 days between the meetings, so it leaves you 2 days extra, and then you come together and y'all discuss what you learned that past week, things that stood out to you, things that maybe you saw that someone else didn't see, that type of thing. The whole goal of the series is this, growing our roots down. It is $20 a book. We do not have the books today, so we're not ready for you to purchase them yet. We will have them next week. I do encourage you to buy them from the church because you can buy them from them, but they're in California, and apparently they don't know how to get good shipping because it's $18 shipping for an $18 book. I know, Michael. My jaw dropped too. But we bought in bulk, and of course the shipping was, I think it came out to $2 a book shipping. So we purchased in bulk, so I do encourage you to buy it from the church for $20 a book. There's 5 days of devotionals. It's worth $20. What we've looked through is worth $20, especially the fact that we can grow together. You'll need that book for the discussion on Wednesday. So why should you do it? Well, number one, to develop those roots and get them healthier. Second reason why I really want you to do it, what we have seen in our small groups or in our table gatherings is that we start off strong. We start off with maybe 15, 16 people in our table gatherings. And let's just say 10 weeks in, it's down to 12 or 10. People fall off over time. Part of that might be because it's a longer commitment in our table gatherings. We don't always have an end date with our table gatherings. Here we have an end date. So I'm asking you to commit to 10 weeks. In fact, they are so serious about you committing to 10 weeks that they say if you're going to miss more than one, don't even take part in the study. I'm going to say if you miss more than one, because I'm going to miss two. So if I can miss two, you can miss two. I know we have vacations and stuff going on. And if you go in and still do the work, though, it's important to still do the work. But it's a smaller commitment than table gathering. So if you've been one of those that have kind of started off strong and then fell off, make this commitment for 10 weeks to be here. Let's have fun together. Let's share meals together. Let's study God's Word together. Third reason why you need to be here is you need to help your fellow churchgoers develop their roots. You might be the reason why someone else grows this summer. Fourth reason is, and this is one reason why we want to do one big table gathering, is we want to expand the circle of people you know here at the church. I told Tanya last week that I've heard from some of our leaders bragging about how good she is in our groups, how she asks questions and how she is engaged and how she's just a good connector piece in those groups. I've never been in a group with her. So now, over the summer, I hope that we can grow our circles where we're in groups with people that maybe we're not typically in groups with. And the fifth reason is I would love it if the whole church, for the most part, took part in this. I really think something special could happen in our church, in our community, coming out of this. The results that the churches that have gone through this that have said the results are off the charts is how much healthier it made their church, so that the church can do the work that God has called us to do. So you'll hear more about that over the next week. We're going to send an email out. We should have the books in by next week. Just give $20 for the book, and we'll start on June the 5th, and you won't have to start your actual work till after that. June the 5th is going to be probably a longer, extended fun time. We'll probably get David up here and pick on him some, and we'll do some stuff like that. I've already got some jokes lined up. That's how excited I am for this for David. So I'm really hoping you'll take part in this. So this is over the summer.